Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show, Blog Talk Radio, on every Monday through Friday at 6:30 and 11 o'clock when I have time and technical matters permit me to do it at 11 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. This show is, I want to talk a little about the background of it so you understand where we are coming from in this particular enterprise. This is a politically incorrect show. It is not politically correct. We aim for honest discourse, honest thinking, critical thinking, thinking based on knowledge and reading and thought and experience. And we do not particularly concern ourselves in this show with media lies, media falsehoods, or political rhetoric. We regard this as useless and, frankly, lies, and we don't want to fill our minds with what is black darkness, which can only bring this society to further darkness it presently is in. And now this is a show in which I am a writer, and I've written 10 books, and 3 of them are Christian books, as is the Christian worldview. I've had wide sales in the University of California system, Louisiana, as well as 4 Dutch universities and several German universities. It's been a national bestseller. I also have written a book on the parables, which I have posted my interpretations of 41 of the parables on my website and social media and academia.edu. And I also written a book called Essays on Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, which has sold well worldwide and has been bought by Ivy League universities such as Harvard and the University of Pennsylvania. In addition, I am a Christian, and I am very much a zealous believer in the personhood and truth of the message of Christ, to be God and to offer eternal life for those who wish to follow him, and to live a life of virtue and righteousness, which is what he commands us to do, to love our neighbor and even love our enemy and pray for those that persecute us. His demands of love are much greater than our present society can even envision. And so that is his position about how we're supposed to live, and is the position I adhere to. I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation and from and the ancient creeds of the Church, Athanasian, Apostles, and Nicene Creed. And if I read a book, I'll read a Christian book, such as John Milton's Paradise Lost or John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, which will inform me and help me. I will not be fooled and befuddled by secular lies, which are simply based mainly on money, which is what our society revolves around at the present time. So you know I run a radio show. I also run several radio shows, a podcast and a blog talk show, which have a Christian orientation. And these shows are visited by many people from Muslim countries in China, were very interested, even though they are have a Christian message. They are willing to listen, and I'm willing and happy to meet them. I've had several wonderful Muslim guests on the show, a novelist and a scientist from Istanbul, and I'm in touch with a wonderful philosophy student in Iran, very well informed in terms of philosophy, whether Plotinus or Plato, ancient philosophy, as well as modern philosophy such as German philosophy, Hegel. Very well, fine background. And I really fear that the school system in the United States is really not offering our young people the help and information they need to sort their way through life. That's my personal opinion. I don't know what they're reading, but it seems like it's propaganda and politics rather than knowledge and thought. So, anyway, I've also have written 2 very extensive journal articles in the Syracuse Law Review and in Academicus and Urbanian Scientific Journal, which have been bought by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department. I'm planning another world round journal article very soon on our educational system, and I will be giving a lecture to representatives of 29 of 82 countries on legal topics, and I'm working on that at this point. Tonight, this show will covers many areas of literature. It covers philosophical matters. It covers theology. It covers biblical truth and biblical texts. It covers literature, etc., and it covers current events in politics. And tonight, I'm going to talk about something very important, because God is command of God found in the book of Exodus, namely, you shall have no other gods before me, and make no graven images. And Jesus said the same of himself, that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by him. And there are several statements in John to the similar effect that he is God, and he makes that claim. So what about this business of graven images and having no gods? Many people today, because we live in a diverse society, which is fine, I have no race prejudice in my bones. I believe Jesus loved and died for all of us, regardless of their race or sex. But we sort of are faced with a situation of finding a way to include people effectively in our system. But that does not mean that we are to give up our faith, the faith handed down in the book of Exodus, where we'll have no other gods before me. It's an unequivocal command. It is the command of God, and it stands fast. So I'm going to talk about, he commands us against idols, graven images, and he's making clear that he's a spirit and nothing more. We have to understand that, but let's talk about these kind of idols that might be involved here. Many people, through their lives, seek to uplift themselves, or better set, to nail and found their self-confidence on some personal quality and accomplishment. That's kind of an idol. For example, some people will say they're wealthy, they have material wealth or riches. Or others may say that my greatness lies in my riches or in my expensive car, perhaps a Lexus, BMW, or an expensive vacation home in the Hamptons. Many people will use that as an idol of a kind, which God warns against in the book of Exodus. They will found their self-importance on their material wealth and riches. They may say to themselves, that makes me superior. And it's kind of an idol they're engaged in, an idolization. The same as a graven image is, but not exactly the same. Others may say that my greatness lies in my expensive car, a Lexus or BMW, or an expensive vacation home in the Hamptons. They may say to themselves, that is what makes me great, and that is an idol for me. The idol is myself and my wealth. Other people will say that I'm smarter than other people, or they may have some specialized knowledge and can so convince themselves they're in some way much superior to the lesser minds that surround them. They will use that as an idol, which God warns against in the books of Exodus. The idol these people engage about themselves and raising themselves above others is believing they're smarter than other people or have a specialized knowledge. And so that is an idol they engage in to raise themselves up. Some people will use the idol of that they're cultured or better educated, and so that they see others as unlettered and less in their minds. That's another way of having an idol before them. They may point to the fact they're cultured or better educated and see others less so as inferior to them. Again, they are making a kind of an idol of this particular quality. Other people may say to the world, I have greater physical strength. This is, I'm an athlete. And so they will point to that idol as a way of raising themselves up. These are all different kinds of idols. They're not graven images. They are idols, just of a little different kind. And a fifth group, it may be their looks that enable them to say, I'm better than other people. This is particularly present in our present society. And people are judged by this very false standard of their looks. So, and other people, as I say, they may use that as a kind of an idol, an image that God warns against in the books of Exodus. He makes clear, have no other gods before me. Make no graven images. And these are all idols and images which people use to raise themselves up and make themselves feel they're great. The sixth group are people who may say, I'm morally superior. I have greater virtue or faith or morality. And they may say to themselves, I'm righteous. I'm virtuous. And they may say to themselves, that is a kind of idol that God warns against in the books of Exodus, where he says, you'll have no other gods before me, and you will have no graven images. So he's warned, these are all kinds of images which people use, idols they use, images they use to raise themselves up beyond the true God, Jesus, and the God of Exodus. Well, I think for a Christian, I am a Christian, at least I try to be, to live the Christian life. For the true believing Christian, all souls are of equal value, regardless of their economic status, strength, intelligence, education, or morality. For the believing Christian, God accords great value to all people, and he doesn't make a judgment of them based on the idols I just mentioned of their physical strength, their money, their intelligence, their education, or even their faith, perhaps. He doesn't judge because someone's an athlete and stronger that he is giving him greater love. He is not saying that people who have great religious faith are therefore greater, or morality, are therefore greater than others. He doesn't feel that a person who's cultured or better educated is not to be idolized and judged on that basis. He doesn't think because someone's intelligent or smarter or has certain knowledge and that they have lesser minds that surround them. God wishes to have all souls come to him regardless of their wealth, economic status, physical strength, intelligence, education, or even their faith. This is very important, I think. What I've just given you are false values. They are false idols. You have to say that, in short, one might say, and I think it's true, that God in Christ attached greater value to one soul than all the culture, wealth, intellect, knowledge, beauty, or others may have. These other are idols that they create for themselves. So that's as much as I have to say about this, and I think you see my point, ladies and gentlemen, that the Christian God, that Christ, attaches greater value to one soul, one minuscule little soul, perhaps, than all the culture, wealth, intellect, knowledge, beauty, or others may have. Let me make an admission here that when I was younger, education was more important to me, and culture, and religious faith. Perhaps I raised myself up by that method of thinking myself cultured, better educated, or having religious faith. I now know that was a mistake. That was raising the idol to worship that God warned against in the book of Exodus. By making culture, education, religious faith their use as raising yourself up, you're mistaking their purpose. Culture has no particular value except to give people enjoyment of these activities. By the same token, religious belief is not to be used as a method of barring other people or maybe feeling you're better than other people. It's grievous and sad that humanity uses these very wonderful things like culture and education as a method of exclusion, demarcation, and dominance. That is not their purpose. As usual, the good is corrupted by the evil. So that's why I say that when I was younger, I made culture and education and even religious faith, I raised myself up, as I said, by these idols which God warns against in Exodus.
And by making culture, education, religious faith, raising myself up by that, it was a mistake. Culture has no value other than it gives enjoyment to people. It gives, to me, to hear a Beethoven symphony gives me great pleasure. To me, to read John Milton's Paradise Lost gives me great pleasure. I do not use these to raise myself up and make myself feel important. By the same token, the use of these works is not to be used, use of these matters not to be used to exclude other people. And even religious faith is not to be used as a method of barring other people. Religious faith makes a better life for us and for the people around us. And that's the purpose of it, not to bar or exclude other people, but to include other people. And you might say it's a grievous and sad commentary that humanity, in its sin and evil, uses the many things, good things, that they are surrounded with as a method of dominance and exclusion. That's not the purpose of culture, it's not the purpose of education, it's not the purpose of any of these things, but to make life more wonderful for us, because they are good things, and good things are good for us. They are not to be used for bad purposes. So I hope you've enjoyed this little talk, and I've enjoyed speaking about it. I've hit on a lot of topics here, very important, but I hope you will grasp what I was talking about. And I may briefly talk about it tomorrow again to give a refresher on what I was saying here. I wish you a very happy New Year with your family, and may you share with me the love of Christ, who died for all humanity and all generations from the beginning of time to the end of time. His love is inexhaustible, and his joy and mercy are also inexhaustible. And every day I live, I'm more aware and acutely aware of Christ and his great love for all humanity, all generations, all peoples, regardless of race, wealth, money, education, culture, whatever. God cares about everybody, regardless of their situation. So that's my last word here, and I hope you've enjoyed this little talk. Now we'll be speaking again tomorrow night, possibly about this and something else, which I have in mind. Hope you enjoyed the talk. Bye.